This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stasio. This weekend in Wilkesboro, pickers, pluckers, and all manner of musicians will gather to celebrate Merlefest, the annual folk festival held in honor of Doc Watson's son Merle. Among the 100 or so bands showing up for the event are the Ducks.
It looks to me like nothing much has changed. I know the past is history. But if this really...
Ducks are from Canada. They stopped into our studio on the way to Wilkesboro, and we're joined by three of the five members of the Ducks, banjo player Leonard Podolak, lead singer Jessica Havey, and percussionist Scott Senior. Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
You have been to Merlefest before, but not as full-fledged performers. What was your experience there, Leonard, last year?
Well, last year the band got hired to a festival called the Lake Eden Arts Festival in Black Mountain. And so Merlefest took place the week before, so Tanya, Elizabeth, and Jesse and I flew down a week early. A lot of the folks at Sugar Hill were able to procure us a guest backstage passes, and it was just everything I'd hoped it would be and more. It was wonderful to see Doc Watson for the first time for me, and also just be in that company with all these wonderful players.
Now I want to get to know you a little bit. I know, Jesse, I've read that you were supposed to have been a mezzo-soprano as lead singer for this group.
But, yeah, that's true. But also, actually, there's a write-up in the Washington Post about our show that we did last night, getting people to come out for it, and they called me a piercing soprano in that... Which leads me to believe that the dude never listened to the record.
Well,
yeah, they're still calling me that.
Yeah, because you don't come across as a piercing soprano.
Not very much piercing soprano at all about my singing, I don't think.
Well, let me ask you that. Are you self-conscious about the sound that you have? Because it's clearly a crossover sound. And I'll put the question to Scott Senior. I mean, does a band or do you think about becoming a crossover band, or do you develop a sound and you let me name you?
I would go with B.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to kind of... It either works or it doesn't. I mean, the whole art of fusing music together is an art form, and a lot of times it just happens really, really naturally. That's what happened with the Ducks. You hear a lot of bands that are really pushing hard to get across, almost like forcing their musical influences down your throat. You know, like, I'm from India and I play the tabla, so... But no, with this band, it really happens so naturally, and it wasn't even... didn't even need to be discussed. You know, it was just, how do we use our instruments, our folk instruments from wherever they are, either North Carolina or Cuba? How do we just, you know, they're all acoustic instruments and they just worked really well in the really warm sounds.
Well, I've also read that you were, in a sense, a little bit skeptical about becoming part of anything that might be a roots or a bluegrass band.
Yeah, that was just my own problem, just from my upbringing of listening and playing jazz and funk and stuff like that. It was just brand new to me, and like I said, it really didn't take very long at all to just find where I belonged in this band and becoming friends with all these people as opposed to bandmates.
Was there something that you heard in the music that made you think, oh, maybe this can work, but I doubt it? I mean, how did you become attracted to the group in the first place?
A lot of it came out of conversation, you know, sharing each other's music, seeing the similarities between Irish music and folkloric Afro-Cuban music, or, you know, the gospel and funk and all those influences. And it was just sometimes it needed to be talked about or you know, shown an example. Hey, check this tune out. I mean, a lot of the tunes that we pick are to play and perform are sometimes have no arrangement to it. It's just a cappella. And so it's up to us to arrange it and do what we want to it. So it's just you just see these meldings of styles.
Yeah. Leonard, your self-titled album includes some traditional songs and some modern covers. And you've got a twist. You do have a sound. So let's hear a traditional song that you picked up from the Edmonton Folk Festival, Death Came a Knockin'.
You know the death came a knocking on my mama's door, singing, come on, mama, ain't you ready to go? And my mama stooped down, buckled up her shoes, and she moved on down by the Jordan Stream, and then she shot, hallelujah, done to my duty, got on my traveling shoes.
So I hear an example. I mean, that seems to be what Scott's talking about, but how did that arrangement come together?
To tell you the truth, it really was very natural, if my memory serves me correctly. We just started singing it and playing it. Some of those songs require more arrangement than others. I don't remember where we were when we when we did that. I think it was just something that we just all did together. Well, Jessica sang it for us.
Yeah, well, I was going to say one of the key instruments in that tune certainly is Jesse's vocal. It's got a real gospel feel. Do you have to think about making transitions from something like bluegrass to something that has that gospel feel?
You know what? My background was in musical theater and theater, so I was raised as an artist to be very versatile and to be able to take on different roles. And I think that that's probably why I fit into this band as well as I do, is just because I have that versatility just kind of ingrained in me. And it's kind of just like taking on a different character every time I do a different style of singing.
So you actually do. You take on, you see yourself as a character.
Now I'm a gospel singer. Now I'm a, you know, whatever. Fill in the blank.
And Scott, you make some of your own drums?
I do. I do. I spent some time studying in Havana, Cuba, and they play a drum in the street called a rumba cajon, which is a wooden box. Mm-hmm. And I make them. They're very simple to make, but it's more about keeping that style of music alive and those instruments alive, because they've been happening since slavery to present day.
Yeah, I could see where it's a lot of fun as musicians to be working with this kind of music, experimenting and coming up with some really nice sounds. But do you have a hard time pulling an audience together, keeping an audience? If they've come for one sound, are they disappointed?
So far, I'd have to say definitely not. what I think about the different styles of music that we play is that, you know, they're really all related, you know? Just like the course of human history and human movement in terms of movement around the world, immigration and stuff, the music and the culture moves and transforms with it. So there's an obvious connection between old-time music and blues and old-time music and Irish music and old-time music and French-Canadian music and all around and gospel music. You know, so it's like different dialects of the same language. Mm. They're so heavily related that it bothers me to hear people separate, oh, you know, I really hate bluegrass music, but I love that old-time stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, it's the same thing.
But the labels, in many cases, record labels, the record industry, you know, has a part in that as well. They seem to have an interest in making sure they've got slots and boxes for everybody's CDs.
That's a big part of it. They love just to separate everything and categorize. And
you think your audience
funny.
Is your audience out ahead of the a little bit in front of the industry, the marketers?
I think so. I mean, you know, a lot of people obviously will ask, you know, like, what do you guys call your music?
And what kind of music is that?
Yeah, what kind of music is it? It's like, well, you tell me what kind of music it is. It's whatever you say it is. It's just music. It's a celebration of music, you know, it's a party.
And Sugar Hill's been really behind us as far as not categorizing us either and just letting us do our thing too. They've been really great to us.
With all of the fusion that we've heard in the various styles coming together, internet bringing together artists from all over the world, in some cases who haven't even met, is the industry changing a little bit? Are the labels becoming more conscious of the fact that maybe they don't need these categories to sell records?
I think so. I mean, just at least all I really know intimately is Sugar Hill, but they've just been completely amazing me as far as how much they seem to want to expand their, you know, their approach to music and to categorizing and stuff. And I mean, I'm hoping that all record labels will follow Sugar Hill's example, because I think they're setting a mean one.
Yeah, like there aren't a plethora of record companies out there who will say to a who will say to their artist, oh yeah, you know, do what you do, you know. It'll be.
We want you.
We like what
you.
We think you can be.
Right. Well, you know? They could be finding themselves in this territory where it's all unknown. They thought they had all the answers, and then every once in a while you move into this territory where we need to let the market tell us a little something.
Well, I think especially with folk music and traditional music, it's been something that's been around for so long that obviously there's a reason why it's still continuing the way
that's
it
right.
is.
Mm-hmm. And the topics are widely varied, too. You talk about death and religion and love lost and gospel fare. What kind of thought goes into the selection in terms of the topics, content?
What's true about all the kinds of music that we're sort of tapping into is that it really comes from human experience in life and hardship and toil and happiness and, you know, all the things that happen in life.
Comes from the folk, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like it's really important for us to play music that's really going to make people feel comfortable and just sort of be able to accept the parts of life that maybe aren't so easy for most people to accept. Like, we do a lot of songs about death and dying and You know, the song that we do by Ruth Unger on our record, Four Blue Walls, is a song about family incest. Or incest, I guess the word family is implied. But, I mean, last night, for the very first time ever, a woman came up to me and just said, you know, that it's so brave of you to sing a song like that. And I could just say that that song has helped me just deal with my own personal experiences. And it was just like, whoa, you know, like, it's really important to play music that's going to, you know, music about social issues and just music that's going to make people feel more like they're not alone, I guess.
It was past her bedtime on a stormy night, and she couldn't shut her eyes and she couldn't blow out the light. So she gave up struggling and let the candle burn. The hail knocked her window as her memories knocked and turned. And her room had four blue walls. They've been hers since she was small. No sleep inside. Oh, her father was the only one who pretends he can't remember what was done. And her mother can't find the strength to do anything at all but stand and pray. In a room with four blue walls that will close an end.
Four Blue Walls from the Ducks' latest record. They are with me here in the studio today, three of the five members of the Ducks from Canada. Leonard Podolak, you've reached out all over Canada in pulling together band members. How do you sell people on the band, and what are you looking for?
It's just that natural Podolak charm, I guess.
It sure is.
I've been really lucky that I've been able to meet a lot of wonderful players. I've known Jessica my whole life. Her parents and family were good friends of my family at the Winnipeg Folk Festival.
Actually, you've known me my whole life.
Yes, that's right.
Let's just clarify that.
And Jordan, I've played with in Winnipeg. And when I was touring out west, I met Tanya. She showed up at one of our gigs. And we met Scott through Rodrigo Munoz, who I've known in the Winnipeg scene for a long time. He's an amazing Latin musician, plays percussion, plays guitar, leads a salsa band that Scott played in, and he handed the reins over to Scott when he didn't want to tour anymore, and we got to know each other.
Now that you've got a reputation, people know who you are, you've got like didgeridoo players and tabla guys coming up saying, hey, I want to be in your band.
Yeah, no kidding. There was actually a didgeridoo player at this festival in Florida.
Yeah?
It was a southern guy. Didgeridoo player was really great, man. We had him up on stage for the big jam at the end.
Did his didgeridoo playing have a twang?
it was a twangiest didgeridoo I've heard.
We had a recording. You do a number of covers on the album. One, a Paul Brady song. Now, I will confess, I confess my ignorance right here now. I had to go to Google when I saw Paul Brady's name, but he turns out to be one of the best-known folk singers I've never heard of.
He's huge. It's crazy.
I'm dumb, so tell me more about
no,
him.
No, I was dumb, too. I didn't know who he was, and Bela sent us a record.
Bela Fleck.
Bela Fleck. Yeah. Mr. Bela Fleck sent us a record of about 8 songs of his, and he said, humor me. I haven't pushed anything on you guys at all. I've been, you know, just, I want to do the material that you guys want to do, but humor me and try a couple of these songs, because he's a good friend of Paul's, and we decided to do one of his songs, started working on it, got the arrangement, and Paul, we found out, like, the day that we were recording the song, or the day before, or something insane like that, that Paul was in Nashville making his record. So Bela arranged for Paul to come in and meet everyone, found out that he was going to produce the vocals on that record, so I got to do, like, an intensive 3-hour just, it was like an intensive workshop almost, where he just totally like kicked my butt, and and it was awesome. It was so much fun working with him.
Let's hear a little bit of that song.
Yeah.
It looks to me like nothing much has changed. I know the past is history, but if this really is a brand new game, how come you're looking down on me?
brother, can't you see what the future is bringing? In a world like this, how can we live together? You and I are really just the same, though you might think you're a little bit better. And when you fall, don't look for me to blame. You hold the key for the higher you think of me, then the better your world will be. The higher you think of me.
You and I, a song written by Paul Brady. That's Paul Brady doing backup vocals?
Sure is.
Jesse, when you say you learn, you kicked your butt, you learn something, how do you, what goes on? How do you transfer knowledge in
there? Okay, well, it totally made me feel like I was back in my musical theater classroom with my very first teacher and mentor, Roy Smith, who I've not given enough props to at all. I think he's responsible for making me the singer that I am. And just basically having somebody say, you know, as I'm singing my butt off, saying, I know you can do more. I know you've got more in you. It was like, I'm going to challenge you. You know, this is my song.
Yeah.
I wrote it. I like your interpretation of it, but I think you're doing it too much like me. So wow. I'm going to try to get you to be different and more like yourself. And he really brought that out of me.
For the higher you think of me, then the better your world will be. The higher you think of me.
Scott Senior, we've heard about Bela Fleck, your producer. What's it like to work with him?
The experience was great, and I think everyone in the band would say this, is that he just brought the best performance out of you. He didn't accept any excuses or, you know, I came into the studio with the intention that I would do all these overdubs of, you know, shakers and all this stuff, and he says, man, he's like, I've seen you do all of this live, and I want to hear that. I've seen, you know, you use your feet and your hands and your elbows and your... He's like, I want to get that in the studio. I don't want to overdub. I want people to listen to this album and go, wow, you know, I just took home this band from a concert and I get to put it in my CD player and I can still hear this live band, you know.
Different energy, isn't it?
Different energy, yeah. And so we want to really keep the live feel. And
what have you learned as an artist coming from having a Latin background, now having to merge your style with these styles? How do you change?
It's all universal. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing I learned. I mean, I learned that right away when I started, you know, traveling to other countries, and didn't matter what color your skin was and stuff like that. Music was a very universal language that everyone could just get together on. But bringing this into the band, it was just such a natural thing.
Who's gonna take my soul to heaven? Who's gonna make up my dying bed? Gonna take my soul to heaven when I die.
Leonard Podolak, Jesse Havey, Scott Senior, members of the Ducks with Tanya Elizabeth and Jordan McConnell. The Ducks perform this weekend at Merlefest.
Gonna make up my dying bed when I die.
Coming up, the North Carolina Symphony swings to the rhythm of golf. Stay with us.
My dying bed when I die.